Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
1973, that was 41 years ago, Prabhupada had this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita published, and we were distributing it on the street as a little book. It's called this Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. And it's really quite interesting. This is not the beginner's book. It's not a bridge book. It's straight in your face, very heavy. Personalist philosophy, how to live deep in personalism. And it was also indicative of how Srila Prabhupada envisaged the transcendental sound vibration works. Even if people read a few lines, a few pages, still that will have the effect of not only purifying their hearts, but actually planting the seed of pure devotional service, which is, it's mystical how it works. And Srila Prabhupada very often would repeat that when he was encouraging devotees in book distribution. He said, even if they read one line, one word, their lives will be changed. And they were. He just introduced me to someone who got a book from Vishwambar 2 years ago. And our lives are changed. How that change takes place is a very mysterious, or rather it's a transcendental process. And as we're conditioned, so also transcendental things are very mysterious to us, or even perhaps sometimes unbelievable how they happen, but they happen. And these are not just Srila Prabhupada's exclusive statements, but you find them in the Mahatmyas related to scriptures, like Gita Mahatmya or Bhagavad Mahatmya, which states that if people remember, if they read one verse, if they remember one verse, if they just remember the word Gita at the time of death, then they're liberated. That's pretty extraordinary. Of course, what does liberation mean? Liberation won't necessarily mean that they're going back to Godhead. It depends what consciousness they're remembering, that word Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And so much emphasis is therefore placed on our not just distributing books but reading them. And although Srila Prabhupada did place so much emphasis, but he made some very strong comments to book distributors when they were reading his books. He says, you're distributing, but you're not reading. He says, so what's the use? What is the use? Srila Prabhupada. And here at the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, I've written this Chaitanya Charitamrita especially for my followers. Chaitanya Charitamrita is already for devotees. Although we were, when it came out in different volumes, we were just distributing them to anyone and everyone in the same way that we did Srimad Bhagavatam, and it touched people's lives, changed people's lives, whether they just saw the picture or the book. Of course, the idea is that they do read the books, but especially the idea is that we read the books. And if we're not reading the books, then we're really neglecting what Srila Prabhupada considered to be the root of his mission. And I don't think Prabhupada expected us to read books, rather he expected us to study them. That nowadays there's such an explosion, information explosion, and even in the Krishna conscious movement there are so many books. But all these books are actually secondary, at least secondary in importance and secondary in priority. And the Lord said, I don't have time. Well, if you don't have time, at least have time for these books. It said that Srila Prabhupada said these are the law books written down somewhere. That's why I used the word it said. It was in a car trip when Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples. So Lord Chaitanya in five features. Panchatattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Surupakam Bhaktyavatara Bhaktyakam Namam Bhaktashakrikam. I believe Danjapu was when Prabhupada actually gave a lecture on this verse at Conway Hall or somewhere in London. It's in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and it was like above everybody's head, and Srila Prabhupada was just going, getting into detail of Panchatattva Atmakam Krishna Bhaktarupa, and that's what the Sarup is, and who the avatar is, and Bhakti Shakti, and Prabhupada just continued speaking.
Actually, practically every lecture he gave in Conway Hall was above everybody's
head. Including the devotees, then.
Including me, so esoteric.
Because not only the content is important, and of course it's not that we should always shoot above people's heads. Generally, it's good to. But Srila Prabhupada was motivated by his own ecstasy and his own purposes. But still, the sound vibration itself, speaking the truth. Of course, the truth is a novel thing in Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga means. Teaching, how many hours a day, that we don't know, but it emphasizes or points out to us what a exalted position Sanatana Goswami has within our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and how high esteem Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held them. When Sanatana Goswami first came to Jagannath Puri, and when he went there, he came to this through this Jarakanda forest, and he contacted some kind of very both painful as well as unattractive skin disease. Just the other day, I was thinking that when Rupa Goswami is talking about Gangambhupudapinapankha, when he's talking about how the contaminated body of a devotee, that even though a devotee's body may be sickly or it may appear to be externally unattractive, I couldn't help but think that he may have been referring to Sanatana Goswami at that time. But anyway, he contacted this disease, and Lord Chaitanya would come and he would embrace him every day, which is not something that you would think, that here is someone who has all kinds of pus and other things oozing from the sores on his body, and still Lord Chaitanya just embraces him, and all of that would smear over his body, and Sanatana Goswami is very distressed. He was very distressed because here's our deities. You will never, you have to be bathed, you have to be pure, you have to have clean clothes. You can't even if you just touch your finger to your eye, then you have to do ajman again, what to speak of other parts of the body. So to touch the transcendental body of the Lord, one has to be pure. And now here is all these impure substances are touching Sanatana Goswami's body. Anyway, so he, Jagannanda Pandit, they were good friends, although Sanatana Goswami was like one generation senior, older. And Jagannanda Pandit would regularly come, and when Sanatana Goswami was expressing his mind, he said, I'm too much anxiety about this and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, why don't you go to Vrindavan? And so he thought, well, this is a good idea. I'll go to Vrindavan. That way I won't be causing this distress to, or at least I won't be distressed. I won't be committing these offenses to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the same time, I can go to Krishna's transcendental abode, which he Srila Prabhupada is commenting on. Sanatana Goswami did do. And so he wanted to ask permission. That's the Vaishnava etiquette. Well, first, if you want to go to Vrindavan, you ask the permission of your superior, spiritual master, you get the blessings of the Lord. And just to do anything, Vaishnavas always ask for at least blessings, if not permission. So Sanatana Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, where did you get this idea from? He said, Jagannanda told me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely mad, angry. He says, how dare this impudent boy give you advice? He says, you're senior enough to instruct me. I consider you like my guru. And then this young boy is not just an ordinary person, this is the incarnation of Satyabhama, Jagannanda Pandit. Still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry, and then he later reprimanded him. In fact, he sent Jagannanda Pandit away. And he reprimanded him that, how can you give advice? Prabhupada comments like that in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. The juniors don't give advice, what to speak of, instruct seniors. It's a matter of sadhachar or proper conduct. And particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extolling the qualities of Sanatana Goswami, how learned he was, how realized he was, how senior he was. And interestingly enough, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent other Vaishnavas much, much earlier than he sent Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, but because of their stature, namely Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha, they were already sent to Vrindavan when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvipa. And he sent them for the same purpose, find the sacred places, and they were searching through the libraries of Mathura. Mathura was a place of learning, it had always been a place of learning. And they were locating these places, and it was when Rupa and Sanatana Goswami arrived that they sort of handed over that service to them. But because Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami are actually such senior persons, then Prabhupada would always say they found the lost places of Vrindavan. And it's not just they, but the verses that come later on. Kavi Karnapur gives verses of glorification of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And he also attributes to them the service of finding the lost places of Krishna's pastimes and beginning to establish temples. And Srila Prabhupada points out another purport later on. He said that one of the duties that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them was to establish the principle of deity worship, the worship of Radha and Krishna. Because if Krishna was worshipped generally, although there are exceptions, generally Krishna was not worshipped with Srimati Radharani. I say there are exceptions because there are exceptions. I think one of them notably being on Dhangar in Bhashan. There's a Radha Krishna deities there that are supposed to be 6,000 years old. He sent him to Vrindavan to execute his orders. So particularly these were his orders: excavate Vrindavan and the places of Krishna's pastimes, write transcendental literature, establish the principle of deity worship and the worship of Radha and Krishna. When Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan, there were no temples. And they weren't. Although, when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and we read about Shakshi Gopal, that was something that happened about 800 years ago. There was a temple at that time. So that temple went into more than disrepair. It disappeared. By the time when the Goswamis came, and Prabhupada said it's like a open field. It's like vacant, like an open field. Although many parts of Vrindavan were more like jungle, Radhakund was like an open field. And it was an agricultural field. And when I was writing the Navaraja Mahima, I tried to do research. There are these appeared to be huge expanse of time where there's no history. This history, Krishna's time, that we have plenty of information on what's happening in Vrindavan. And then there's some history after Krishna's disappearance, and Skanda Purana talks about how Vajra renovated Vrindavan, established deities, repopulated it. This was empty. There was nobody there. The devotees went back home, back to Godhead. Krishna took them back to Godhead. So the place was like really an empty place. And it seemed like all the villages had to be rebuilt, although there were some original structures. In Gokula, you have there Nanda, the remnants of what were Nanda Maharaj's palace, although it's not in its original place, it's been moved to the present. place. And there were some other original structures. And then he established deities, and then you get thousands of years come and go, and there's nothing practically up until more or less the time of the Greeks and the Mughals. Then we start to get history from different sources, some of them being either Chinese wanderers who come, or some Greeks, and then of course even not just in Vaishnavism, but in Vedic culture, history is not so important. And if history is important, and that type of history is important, that just directly relates to the Lord. For instance, Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam itself is very much, I was in Scotland, we're discussing this point about the actual nature of Puranic history as opposed to conventional Western concept of linear history and our concept of circular history, but just what is actually recorded, because there are things that are recorded. But things that are recorded are very often not dated. It doesn't say on this date such and such things happened. And the emphasis that's given are those things which directly relate to Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's associates, and things are combined very, for instance, when you read about Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni was performing austerities on the bank of Bindu Sarovara, and some said it's Bindu Sarovara somewhere in Punjab that was on this planet, and that was 2 billion years ago. That was like long, long, long time ago. And yet it's mentioned with other incidents that may have taken place millions of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago or thousands of years ago. And it doesn't just record on such and such BC. Of course, Bhagavatam doesn't refer to what happened before Christ, but some time passed. And yet, yet we do deal with extraordinary periods of time. But anyway, back to Vrindavan.